interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National emergency.
Secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's one from India. Doctors are confounded, but parents of a baby boy in India insist the child has burst into flames for no apparent reason at least three times since birth. The baby, cited in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution only by the name of Rahul, was born in May, and parents said that they first noticed flames suddenly appearing on his stomach and knees when he was just 9 days old. And since it's happened a handful of other times, the case has baffled experts in India. Some doctors are saying this could be due to combustible gases emitting from his pores. Now, obviously, spontaneous human combustion is rare, but apparently it does occur. Some cases have been reported as far back as 1663. And in 2011, there was a coroner in Ireland who cited the occurrence as an official cause of death on filed paperwork. So this baby is currently undergoing tests, and who knows, maybe we will soon learn why this bizarre phenomenon occurs. Hey, thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest. Connor, good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. Welcome back to the mainland.
Well, what an eerie dreamlike experience to be looking at you again.
To see you across the console here from me. It's something that hasn't occurred in a few months.
That's right. For at least three to four months, I have been myself doing the program stationed out of my Bermuda Triangle base there in Puerto Rico. And I want to commend you for doing such an excellent job of arranging that broadcast, because, yes, I'm now here back in Asheville, and I bet to those who are listening to the show, it doesn't sound that much different now than it did when I was thousands of miles away.
Not at all. I mean, I don't have you in a little box over here to my left right now, and yeah. I'm not looking at you in a little square space, and you look great.
Well, you know what the big difference is?
What?
I have my pants on.
Okay.
So, and that kind of sucks, you know? It's like I'm a little warmer now. It was so much more relaxing to sit there with my pants off with a big jug of liquor and just do the show that
way. Well, no, you had your little fan blowing there. I could hear it in the background every time during the breaks. You would turn that thing off, and you could I could almost feel the warm ocean air come in off the Gulf of Mexico or the Caribbean Sea.
The Caribbean, that's right. And so, well, I still, of course, am going to be I'm going to be bouncing back and forth. I presume the rest of my life between here and there, because it's a fairly easy trip to go from the mountains down to Puerto Rico and the islands. It's the best of both worlds, and my work there is far from finished. But I must tell you, Forrest, I was a little bit worried when I got on the airplane, or I was about to get on the airplane to come back here to the mainland. I would be stopped by agents who would say, "Well, well, well, we knew you would fall into our web eventually. How did you like trespassing onto all of our secret bases and finding out all of our classified information?" And I wasn't sure if I'd end up in Guantanamo. You know that song,
yeah.
Guantanamera? I didn't want to know that song any better. So, but I'm back now. I'm here in North Carolina. I will be here for a while, and I have so much stuff to talk about tonight. It's really insane. And I'm glad, however, that I am in the studio with a perfect panel suited to discuss the mysteries of the Bermuda Triangle, because, Forrest, you're the only person in the room tonight who has not been down on an expedition yet. You've been to Puerto Rico once.
Right.
But not on an expedition. We have, of course, investigator, if you want to get really specific and technical, counselor Shelley Wright, who not only passed all of the advanced paranormal investigator classes, but now has the advanced Bermuda Triangle investigator certificate. Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, how are you doing this evening?
Doing great, and it's good to see you here.
Thank you very much.
And everybody thinks that you were kidding about, you know, not wearing your pants while you were in Puerto Rico and the big jug of liquor, but we all know.
Well, you got the private webcam.
Yeah.
And so we are going to get, and of course, I don't want to just keep pounding on this Puerto Rico thing now that I'm back, but I do need to give you a recap. And let me tell you, the last expedition I did down there was very special to me, because it's one thing when you go to these places that are renowned for UFOs and ghosts and cryptids and psychic phenomena, and you're carrying equipment and you're taking measurements. It's another thing when you have a person with you who has a special gift, a special sensitivity to what's happening around the island. Now, I know that you are a very sensitive person, Shelley, but on the latest expedition, there was a lady who has been a great friend of mine for many, many years. She's a researcher. She's a radio host who was so sensitive to some of the energy on the island, she actually was able to sort of interact with the spirits, and I saw her at one point even collapse because these spirits were kind of knocking her down when she went to some of these really spooky places. And I'm talking about Missy Hill is in the studio with us tonight. Missy, am I exaggerating?
No, you're not. Good evening, Joshua. I'm back from the Island of Enchantment.
Yeah, that's right. And it's weird because it seems like we were just there last week, doesn't it?
It does, and it's a weird adjustment. It took me a few days to even adjust because I noticed when I first got back, time went really slow for a couple days. Then it went back to this thing of time's going quick. Time was so different on the island. I don't know what it was, but the 8 days that we were there seemed more like 2 weeks or more, at least.
Yeah. I can't agree with you more because there were so many occasions over the past, you know, 4 months when I would take a nap or something and I'd wake up and be completely disoriented. I mean, I would look at the clock and it would say 6:30 and I had no idea if that was a.m. or p.m. And because my clock didn't say. And so I would have to, you know, find Lauren and be like, "Lauren, is it the morning or the night?" You know, and that's how weird it becomes. And of course, I have brought up this graphic that I showed to you, Missy, and some of the others on the expedition produced by NASA that demonstrates the inconsistency in the Earth's gravitational field, because a lot of people don't realize it does vary from spot to spot. And what you find is this whole section we call the Bermuda Triangle is a deep, deep shade of blue. And that indicates that there is less of a gravitational field in this area. And the deepest blue of the deepest blue was the island of Puerto Rico. So we have seen plenty of evidence that gravity affects the flow of time. And when you're down there, you not only experience time passing differently, but I think there are other weird things that we don't understand yet that are connected to that phenomenon, huh?
Definitely. Mm. Oh, most definitely.
Well, you know, we're going to definitely dig into all that kind of stuff. I believe we'll save a lot of it for hour number two when we do sort of more of our theme stuff, because I want to dig a little bit into what you encountered that affected you so deeply that there were times when you felt almost like you were being attacked. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially in two places.
Yeah. And yet you were able to interact with the forces that were there, mm-hmm, and change the environment. So when you left, it was a better place.
Exactly.
One could feel it. It's like, you know, when you've been in a room and maybe a couple of people are fighting and they say, well, you could cut the air with a knife. It's so thick. We all know what that feeling is. There were times when we would go to a place that had that thick feeling, and then you would do what you do, which we'll talk about later, and then all of a sudden it felt so light and airy, and you could say, well, this is just a subjective phenomenon, but on the other hand, I'd like to hear more about what it is you're connecting with. And in addition to that, I believe we'll talk some about why that you are becoming known worldwide as Miss Pop Culture Conspiracy. I think you've got some pretty interesting ideas that we can dig into related to some of the stuff that's been in the news lately, some topical things. Even Miley Cyrus stripping down at the Video Music Awards. Even you have a conspiracy to even help us understand what's going on with her. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we're going to dig into that and a lot more, because I'm just looking at the list here, and we're going to talk about the Brown Mountain Lights. We're going to talk a little bit about the Oblivious Gods. We're going to talk a little bit about Halloween. I mean, you go to the stores now, and Halloween stuff is everywhere. And I've got just stacks and stacks of strange stories, and we are going to, we're just going to try to catch up on all the weird news that we've been missing out on. And it's funny to me that, you know, I think this year has flown by, and now we are in that stretch in the fall when things begin to truly take on that mystical quality as Samhain approaches. You can feel it already in the air. This is the show where we talk about the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and the downright weird. Keeping you company tonight, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Call your friends. Call your family. Tell them to tune in. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
be me. Maybe hit or miss. Sitting here all by myself, trying to be everybody else. Can you see? I gotta be me. Ain't nobody just like this. I gotta be me. Baby, hit or miss. Look at you sitting there, all by yourself. Listening to everybody, everybody say, be everybody else. Can't you see? Be, be. Ain't nobody just like you. You gotta be you. Baby, hear me.
I saw this news story,
oh, la, la,
and I thought,
la, 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 la,
you gotta be kidding me. Can this be serious? Well, so far it appears that it is. I've got a lot of work to do to dig into this. This is Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. It's a news story that apparently came out around September 7th. Headline, couple attacked by UFO while watching Brown Mountain Lights. Here is the story, which, from what I can tell, is from one of the Tribune papers. It says, a North Carolina couple who went to see the Brown Mountain Lights on Friday night got a lot more than they bargained for. The couple said they pulled over at a look-off their friends told them about and sat there for about 2 hours before they saw lights over a ridge several hundred yards to their west. Then this is where it gets strange. The couple told the local sheriff's department that a UFO craft came over the ridge and bumped the top of the couple's car several times. At one point, the couple said the UFO was holding the couple's car to the ground, even though the man was attempting to back the car up and get away. The couple said the UFO at one point hit the back top of their car so hard that it broke the back window of the car out and crushed the car down about 8 inches at the back. The local sheriff's department said this was the first attack of this kind related to the Brown Mountain Lights. A spokesperson, Mildred Rivers, said the car received extensive damage. And then there was a commentary here from a person who says he saw this covered on Channel 12 News. It said the couple was a 31-year-old woman. I have her name here, but I don't want to give it out at this point, as well as her 38-year-old husband, both from Greenville, South Carolina. It says here, Channel 12 showed the car through a fence at the Burke County Sheriff's impound yard. It had the back windows out, including the rear of the car, which had extensive damage. Okay, I have already began the process of contacting my folks there in Burke County, the officials, the authorities, to see if this is an authentic story. I mean, again, it appears to be at this point, but I have been doing Brown Mountain research for over 20 years, and man, Forrest, you and I have camped up there I don't know how many times.
Right.
Never heard of anything like that.
Well, I just wonder if the aliens from PWAM have good insurance or not.
We should. Was the driver wearing a bikini? The UFO driver. That would determine it. And, of course, you've been to Brown Mountain many times, Shelley, right?
Right.
And, Missy Hill, you have been up there with third-generation night vision goggles many, many times. None of us have ever heard anything like this before, have we?
No.
No.
But here's why it's so fitting. You know, we were having a conversation before the show about the fact that this month, specifically September 24th of this month, marks the 100-year anniversary of the very first time the Brown Mountain Lights ever appeared in a news article. Prior to a Charlotte Observer piece, September 24th of 1913, the Brown Mountain Lights were just local legends. So here it is, perfect timing for this sort of thing. And in fact, I have a little book about the Brown Mountain phenomenon that is going to be out later this month. I'll tell you more about that as details are confirmed. But this is also a good time to say that next week there's going to be a Brown Mountain Lights media event, because I've been getting contacted by a lot of reporters, and they all want to get the latest on the Brown Mountain Lights phenomenon. And so I'm not going to just put out here on the air exactly when or where it's going to be. But if you are with the media in the region and you would like to come meet with me and some other researchers and get a little experience in the field and get the latest on the Brown Mountain Lights, you've only got a couple days here to contact me. But go ahead and go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. joshuapwarren.com. You'll find an email address there, or you can just email me at shadowboxent@gmail.com. Again, that's shadowboxent@gmail.com. Have you ever heard, Missy, of any UFO attacking a car in this manner?
No, I have not.
Yeah. And how about you, Shelley Wright?
No, I have not.
So, you see, if this is true, what the heck's going on here? How has this happened all of a sudden? We're all just kind of speechless, aren't we? We all know so much about the Brown Mountain Lights, and yet we just are not sure what to say about this story. I mean, I've actually got what is supposed to be a scan of the actual printed newspaper article right here in front of me.
What's weird is that none of the rest of us heard anything about the story. Oh. All of our friends, everybody knows what we do. I didn't know anything about this article.
I tweeted this, and I think I put it on my Facebook page. And of course, that's another thing. If you go to my website, you can find how to follow my tweets there.
I just want to know what Channel 12 News is. I mean, personally, I've never heard of a Channel 12 news in that area. I know Charlotte has the Charlotte area, which might cover it, has like the major channels or not Channel 12, nor the Asheville area market has a Channel 12. I don't know if it might be a little local media type station or what, but I mean,
this is just so weird. I mean, at the very least, I can just, you know, as I've done, toss it out there. And, let's see. Okay, it looks like a Channel 12 is coming up in the Georgia area.
So, that's like WAGA or something like that, isn't it?
WRDW.
Okay.
So, anyway, when I see stories like this popping up, it tells me that we are in for a very, very busy fall paranormal season, and that's why I want to go ahead and also announce this. Since I've been gone for so long doing research there in the Caribbean, I'm going to be doing personally a lot of the trolley tours and even some of the walking tours this season. And so if you are in the Asheville area and you are interested in coming on a trolley or a walking tour that is guided personally by me, just go to hauntedasheville.com, and you will find information on when I'll be guiding some of those tours, and there'll be an opportunity for you to meet with me and, tell me what's happening with you. In fact, I got a great photograph sent to me when I was in Puerto Rico from Helen's Bridge. Have you guys seen this? Somebody took this picture at Helen's Bridge, and it looks like Helen is standing there. I don't have it brought up here. I just got back into town. I'm still trying to figure out what the heck is going on. But I got here. I was in Puerto Rico, and I got a call from News 13, which is our local ABC affiliate, and they said, "Are you in town? Because if you're in town, we want to have you on to get your commentary about this new photograph that was taken at Helen's Bridge." And they said, "We've got the guy who took the photograph, and he still has it on his cell phone. He's got the original stuff here." And I said, "Well, you know, unfortunately, I'm not in Asheville right now, but I gave him contact information for some other folks, and I don't know if they decided to just wait till I got back, because that was what I was told, like, well, maybe we'll just cover this when you get back." So maybe I should stop talking about it. But it's like a really cool photograph that looks like a full-bodied apparition standing at Helen's Bridge. If this is the real deal, it's another example of how active this fall season is going to be. Ghosts are going to be popping out of the woodworks. In fact, when we come back, here's an interesting story from England. It's about a funeral that was taking place, and suddenly the funeral was interrupted by a voice from above. Yeah. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. North Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. We call it Speaking of Strange. Thanks for spending your evening with us. We definitely appreciate it. And let me go ahead and clarify another date. You should be sure to put on your calendar this month is Saturday, September 28th. That's right, at long last, the highly anticipated Puppy Fest. You heard me right. Puppy Fest is going to be held at the U.S. Cellular Center in Asheville, North Carolina. It's 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. Created and co-produced by me, along with Mr. J.R. Yarnell of the Asheville Tattoo Fest. And we're calling it American Idol with Paws. That's right. We are looking for that star puppy, that celebrity puppy that is going to be featured on a package of Green Earth pet food. We're going to have a cash prize. We're going to be giving away all kinds of free stuff. And keep in mind, you don't have to own a puppy to show up. You can show up with a puppy if you want to compete, but we are presuming the vast majority of the people there will be spectators who just want to come and watch the puppy show, basically. If you go to puppyfest.com, you can learn all about it. And also, you can find a Facebook page. We hope that you will like that page and share it. Keep in mind, Puppy Fest is one word, because there may be some confusion if you type it into two words. Puppy Fest is one word. Missy Hill, you've been helping us promote Puppy Fest. You're definitely going to be there. What are your thoughts on this magnificent, explosive event.
The epitome of cuteness.
Not what anybody would ever expect me to be producing, but hey, I'm a multifaceted guy.
Well, Josh, you're cute.
You are.
Well, maybe I'm actually in stud fest. That's a different side fest. Yeah, that's. But I need to ask you, Forrest, about some of your participation in Puppy Fest. Remind me tonight. I have a job to offer you.
Okay.
For Puppy Fest. Don't let me forget about this. So let's look at other strange stuff that's been happening lately around the world. Last year, for the first time, I visited England, and you know, it's always fascinating to go to England because England is considered the birthplace of psychical research as we know it. Around the 1800s, the methodology of psychical research came about there in England. This is a story from Windsor, Berkshire, England. They say it easily could have been mistaken as a sign from the heavens above, a mysterious voice heard through the speakers during a funeral service was in fact a stewardess on a passing airplane telling passengers to prepare for landing. How weird is that, huh? All these people were gathered at this church in Windsor to pay their final respects, and then all of a sudden they heard, "Fasten your seat belts, prepare the doors for landing." And they say apparently the church's wireless microphone and the plane's radio were on the same frequency. The church is very close there to Heathrow Airport. And fortunately, the dead man's daughter said that her father loved a joke and would have laughed, that he had a fantastic sense of humor. So that's good news. But, you know, you'd think that would happen all the time, wouldn't you? Why only once?
Well, it just depends on how strong the signals are. And the receivers are.
Yeah. Forrest, you're a fan of Mythbusters, right?
Yes, sir.
Here's another story from London, England. Do you remember, Forrest, of Mythbusters, where they were looking at Archimedes? I guess this is one of the legends associated with Archimedes, in which there were some warships that were going to be attacking Greece. And he set up these large mirrors.
Yes.
And reflected the sunlight onto them, and they burst into flames, right?
Right.
Well, the first time the Mythbusters tested this out,
it kind of smoked and smoldered a little
they
bit.
They said that it wasn't going to happen. But then a bunch of students from, like, MIT or something, they got together, and they did it. And so now Mythbusters went back on it. Now, here's an interesting connected story. Apparently, there is a skyscraper in London. And this skyscraper has some type of a curved glass tower, and they claim that it is melting cars in London. Now, this may sound like science fiction, but when the sun hits this distinctive shape at the right time of day, it is producing this extremely bright, well-honed beam of sunlight. And they say there's a two-hour window in the day when this can happen. And if your car happens to be sitting in the beam, then it's going to start melting the frame of your car. So I wonder what it feels like if you walk past that. Because if I'm the only person in the studio here, I know that Forrest has done this, who's been crazy enough to take a magnifying glass and put a little beam on your flesh for a second to see what it feels like.
Yeah, you're boys. You do that thing.
Have you never done that?
Girls don't usually.
No, we've done it to try to light paper on fire, yeah.
But not to your hand.
No.
You've never done it to your flesh.
Not to ourselves.
When you do that, it instantly burns. It stings immediately. You pull your hand away in less than a second. So I'm imagining if you're just walking down the street and you pass through a beam from a gigantic skyscraper, you would feel something very unpleasant. But it's pretty amazing that, you know.
Actually, there's one. There's a hotel in Las Vegas that does the same thing to it. I'm trying to find the article right here. The employees jokingly refer to it as the death ray.
Oh, yeah?
Because the structure of the hotel is curved, and it, like, for 2 hours, I think, during the day, it beams right down in the swimming pool area, and people are just, like, supposedly just getting zapped by this by this concave light.
That's great. That sounds like fun. I believe I've heard also about a work of art somewhere that does, like, it's sort of like a big, highly polished metallic bowl shape, and if a bird flies over at the right time of day, it just roasts the bird, and it just drops out of the sky. Yeah. Yes, I mean, it'd be easy to demolish things that way. Speaking of demolition, here's a story from Pontiac, Michigan. Have you guys heard about this controversy about how a wrecking ball was misused there in Pontiac, Michigan? Yeah, apparently a man owned a house there that had been slated for demolition by this huge wrecking ball. And a few hours before the wrecking crew arrived, he switched his address with his neighbor's address. And guess what happened? They destroyed his neighbor's house instead. And so they also said that they're, well, the guy who owns the house that wasn't supposed to be torn down said that he was planning to rent that place out. They say some of the neighbors are happy anyway because they consider that to be an eyesore. But right now, the sheriff's department is trying to figure out how to deal with an address swapping an address swapping crime, which could end up in such mass destruction. You know, when you really start thinking about it, you could have a lot of mischievous fun with doing something as simple as that, couldn't you?
Yes, you could.
Just swapping some numbers around. I mean, we don't want to give too many ideas to people on this show.
As long as it's not in a hospital or something.
Yeah.
I've heard those stories of what happens where somebody has to have their leg or something amputated and then somebody else get...
Yep, there you go.
Bad.
That could very easily happen. Well, I've got a story here. Oh, I don't even know if I want to read this one. Yeah, I got to. This is so bizarre. It's from Jacksonville, Florida. And, yeah, we got... There you go. We were just waiting to see how long that was going to take. But I believe we're going to need to take a break here first. Now that I'm looking at the stories here, I've got two or three from Florida in a row that maybe we'll break into when we return. And believe it or not, then... This hour will be over, and next hour we're going to talk about some of the very weird, spooky, creepy things that one might find in some parts of the Bermuda Triangle, and also pop culture conspiracy. What is pop culture conspiracy? I'm Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange.
Well, my name's Conley Pettimore. Same as my daddy and daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. They only come a town about twice a year.
minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Be sure to stick around next hour when we talk about some very spooky phenomena from the Bermuda Triangle with our special guest, Missy Hill, here in the studio, as well as pop culture conspiracy. Now, this is something you're going to find quite interesting, and, you know, this is a talent that Missy Hill has for connecting dots, and we're going to connect some dots for you on the air tonight. But I mentioned before the break, I do have a little selection of Florida stories that I want to go ahead and see if we can cover before we go to our break, and I have a feeling there will be more of these in the Dark 30 hour. First story from Jacksonville, Florida. It says here, a man from St. John's County is in trouble because of what he did at a Best Buy restroom. It says, now, it sounds like a Dark 30 already, but it's actually not. This is even more twisted in a way. The guy abducted a 9-year-old girl there at the Best Buy. People heard crying and screaming, and they went inside and realized that this man had taken the girl, kicked and punched her, put a plastic bag over her head, and was holding her face inside the toilet water, obviously trying to drown her to death. And employees were able to jump on the man. They say he dropped the girl, and she was able to crawl under stalls and escape. The guy has been arrested, and he's facing charges of attempted murder, false imprisonment, and criminal mischief. No explanation for why this guy just grabbed this random 9-year-old and started drowning her in the bathroom at Best Buy. Wow. Next story comes to us from Titusville, Florida. A guy there is in trouble for, let's see, did he actually kill him? Yeah, I think he did, yeah. This guy in Florida had some neighbors celebrating a Labor Day barbecue, and he snuck up and hit them on the head and killed them. Two of them died. The third survived, even though the third one had been hit 11 times. And they, of course, asked the guy, why on earth did you attack them? And he said, well, he was inciting the Bush Doctrine. And he said the Bush Doctrine embraces preemptive war, that he felt that these folks were going to attack him and kill him, and so he was acting preemptively with shock and awe. And he was therefore doing nothing different than what the president had done to justify his attacks. And a third story comes to us from Fort Pierce, Florida. They say here law enforcement officials arrested a man there who was lurking, as they call it, around a home. And he was arrested just after he was trying to throw something under a vehicle and hide it. He was acting weird later. He was acting as if his stomach was bothering him. So they x-rayed him and found that he had a large crack pipe lodged horizontally in his stomach. So I guess this guy had swallowed a big old crack pipe instead of go to jail. In his mind, they say crack pipes are not part of a balanced diet. And then here's one that also stands out in my mind. We'll go a little bit west of Florida to the great state of Texas. This is from Arlington. What a weird story. A 911 call came in Arlington. A woman was calling from an acupuncture clinic. And apparently she said she was lying there on the table with a bunch of needles in her back being treated. And then she says, quote, suddenly I don't hear anybody. The music went off. The door is locked. And the guy's car is gone. end quote. So right in the middle of the treatment, the guy just runs out on her and closes up shop and leaves her there with her needles in her back. She said, I had to pull the needles out of me in order to find out what was going on. I was yelling for help for 5 minutes or so. And they finally got a hold of the doctor there, and he said he was ashamed that he was somehow in a rush and just forgot that he had a patient in there.
Just forget.
I guess that can happen, but I would consider that a career ender in that business. Okay, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk about a cave where ritualistic activity happens. We're going to talk about the town where the very first chupacabra was seen. We're going to talk about catacombs underneath an old church. A lot of spooky stuff that we'll get a new perspective on from our guest, Missy Hill, as well as pop culture conspiracy. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It is called Speaking of Strange. 13 months on Betsy.